And it's one.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Tell the Damn Story, the show that celebrates the trials and tribulations, the successes and failures of the writing journey in hopes of making your writing journey easier. I'm Chris Ryan, award-winning hybrid writer, and he's Alex Simmons, award-winning writer of classic characters such as Sherlock Holmes, Scooby-Doo, Archie, Batman, and his own 1930s Soldier of Fortune, Aaron Blackjack Day. Ladies and gentlemen, we are here once again. Hello, Alex. How are you?
One more time. And Chris, how you doing?
What are we talking about today, sir?
We are talking about the case of the apprehensive author.
Now,
you brought up a good topic. You brought up a good topic, yeah. A good concern, a good condition, a good circumstance that many authors, emerging, aspiring, or serious pro, encounters.
Yes, and as we say in the introduction, our failures and our successes, this will be the failure department. One that I am failing at this weekend, ladies and gentlemen. It's current, and we both think humorous when we get past the emotional abyss.
Right. So what you're going to wind up with is we're going to tell you, set it up. We're going to tell you all about it. And then we're going to explore some of the conditions that we've experienced. And then hang in there. We're going to give you some tips on how to deal with it.
Yes, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, by the end of this episode, you're going to be able to deftly avoid the shenanigans that my kidney up here played on me these last few months. And it's something that I'm working to get past for the future.
So there, sir.
All right, so let's introduce the players. Me, and a mess of other authors. As Alex tells you all the time, I'm the author of four novels, right? Independently published novels, including the Mallory and Gunner stuff, and Genius High, and A Simple Rebellion, plus five volumes so far. The Soul Scream Anthology, which is, we've published over 30 authors now in a hybrid horror celebration. Of course, I was honored to write some Blackjack stuff. I have a ton of stories in anthologies. So you think, this guy is ready.
You've been busy.
He's got everything he needs. I'm busy. And I published Rebecca Cuthbert's Creep This Way, How to Become a Horror Writer, with 24 tips to get you ghouling. There you go. Many of the covers of Soul Scream Anthology are done by a person, cover artist and author named Matt Wildeson. And then we have our players now on the field. So there we go. This weekend, down in Virginia, is one of the great cons of the country. It's called AuthorCon. And it's created and developed and hosted and all that stuff by legendary horror writer Brian Keene and legendary horror writers, Brian Keene and Mary San Giovanni. And I went last year and it was a good time. And this year I had plans to do more. And that's where we ran into trouble. Mm-hmm. That's the first conflict. Dun, dun. Okay, I went to sign up for AuthorCon, and I wanted a table. And for those of you who don't know, when you go to these conventions, if they're selling conventions, sometimes they're just educational conventions. StokerCon is less selling and more educational and that kind of stuff. That's the HWA, Horror Writers Association's convention. AuthorCon, it is designed to allow fans access, horror fans especially, access to as many new books that they've never seen as possible.
And the wonderful authors, I'm assuming, right?
And the authors are there, and there are panels, and there's big ballrooms full of people who are selling books and merch and giving away bookmarks and stickers and all that sort of stuff. And he's doing another one in St. Louis, Missouri, or they are, in October. I go to get a table. And the first thing I see is tables of $450. I'm like, what? One guy, I can't order. And I just, sticker shock, I stop immediately.
Shut down. Right.
This, ladies and gentlemen, is our first mistake. And the solution to that is reading is fundamental.
We haven't heard that before.
Alex, what did I do wrong by stopping when I saw something that freaked me out?
Folks, we have to understand, Chris is a seasoned veteran of reading. He has read for years. As a young man, he read
several books from cover to cover.
Right. As a child, he read. As a young man, he read. As a teacher, he read. As a writer, he read. Mm-hmm. So he's not unfamiliar with the process of reading. But as all mysteries will tell you, the culprit will always commit one mistake, one thing overlooked. And in this case, what he overlooked
was the rest of the
few more lines website of content that would have given him additional information.
Yes.
Crucial information. What was crucial information?
I cannot confirm that there were two tiers of prices for the Virginia show, AuthorCon 3. But in AuthorCon 4, which is set up identically, there's two tiers that I didn't notice the first time. Ladies and gentlemen, always read everything. Read the entire, if you're interested in the event, read everything that's posted. The second tier, the lower tier, is 200. I can justify that in my budget. If that was true in Virginia and I missed that, this is where I have to say shame on me.
But right? The crime you committed was you shut down immediately.
Yes, so it was a crime of omission.
Further,
it was a crime of imposter syndrome. It was it's that gateway drug that allows you to say no. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is always a mistake. When I noticed that St. Louis, Missouri had that AuthorCon 4 had two tiers, I gave myself penance because I am a good Catholic boy. And my penance was to look at every posting on social media hashtagged or to AuthorCon 3, okay? And I have seen many this weekend. I have seen many. Some from people like the esteemed Brian Keene have him surrounded with what I would say the first two tiers of famed established horror writers. Now,
May I just for a second here? I think the audience would need just a wee bit, just a little bit more dialing in here before you reveal this next portion, because yes, the $400 for the Virginia con did cause you to put them on the brakes.
Now, let's be clear. That's for the table.
The actual ticket
was $30 or something
like that. Right, right. No, $400 for the table shut the whole thing down for you. Okay. But that was not the reason that what you're about to tell us is going to have even more impact.
Because, one, I'm admonishing myself for not having researched more thoroughly and not seeing the other.
The possibility of a different
if it existed for Virginia,
right.
I don't know.
It was a secondary.
And not acting quickly enough because tables go quick in the AuthorCon. However, there was another
player
foot.
Yes.
It was the shadowy villain.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
The evil doctor.
Not the one that, are you with me, Dr. Wu?
Yes.
Yes, I am. We're not talking about finances. Bam, that's in your face, right?
Yeah, that's it. That's just the money. No, it's not just the money.
Or anything. It was... You can call it imposter syndrome. You can call it self-doubt. You can call it being overly critical, being an anxious author. But there was another thing at work. And the thing is that I was comparing myself to far more established authors. Now, we're not talking in this case, in this conversation, we're not talking about the esteemed Stephen King. That's a different stratosphere that very few get to. We're talking about working writers. And Stephen King, of course, is working.
But on another level.
It's just his audience is immense, right? So that gentleman aside, right? some of the biggest names in horror include Brian Keene and Mary San Giovanni. And like I said, my penance, because deep inside I knew this other thing, this imposter syndrome, this over-criticism of myself. Bronx, Irish, Catholic, where did that over-criticism come from?
Yeah, I can't figure
it. I'm clueless. I have no idea.
Yeah.
But I would...
in the water.
Yeah. I would see... That's right. It's like you have to walk on water or else you're nothing. That's... Yeah, it was a sad experience in my life. But there you go. But like Brian Keene and Mary and Red Lago and Jonathan Jans and these people who are names you may or may not know. And if you don't know and you're interested in horror, go and look them up. But they form the top two tiers. Some are a little more elder, not elder in age, but they've been at it longer. Some are still ascending, but established and making a good profit. But that's not the majority of the people in AuthorCon.
But it's who you were thinking of.
That's who I was thinking about. So my penance was to look at all the posts. And I'm seeing so many tables and authors and artists on my level or a little lower or just slightly high. And I had to really start questioning what was really going on and why I was here and not there.
And here's the struggle part, folks. Now,
right? This is the struggle. You must knock yourself down because, as Alex would say, that was a technique I inherited from my ethnic and religious background that really helps nobody. I wrote despite all that, maybe to overcome all that. But as a 2024 version of Chris Ryan, look at the problem, assess, and be honest is how I approach. So my penance was to look at all the posts and see, and I kept seeing, no, you could have been right at home, right there. Now, okay, I have to adjust and get more aggressive with getting a table. Yes, definitely. Okay, I can live with that. That's just an adjustment on paying more attention to when things are happening and staying involved. A good bit of advice for all writers and all publishers. But also, be able to face the facts. Now, one fact was our hero, Rebecca Cuthbert, who has two books out right now, In Praise of Exoskeletons, which is her book of poetry, and Creep This Way, which I published. She's there and having a great time. And we've been in touch a couple of times, and so far, so good with her. God bless her. I want to talk to her after she gets home and rest and see all the adventures. Now, the other person, I have no idea. Here we go. He's there with his books and his art. And I employ him. That doesn't mean I'm better than him or worse than him, but that it's more or less on that playing field. And I'm looking at other people. I'm like, wow, oh, that's a great idea for a novel. But I think mine has a more my offering has a more professional look or has a professional look. Or, oh, look at those. That's about on the same level as my stuff. And that is how I'm quietly confronting imposter syndrome, anxious author syndrome, overcritical of self, that letting the editor go wild.
Let's let the crowd in a little bit.
Please, sir.
This one for a moment. And imposter syndrome, it's a wonderful phrase. It just calls it up. But it can be generated by a lot of different feelings. It can, and it's like saying, I'm not a doctor and I never played one on television. We don't have to be psychologists to use that term. But sometimes we also like to really look at, okay, what's the emotion underneath that phrasing? And in some cases, if you're an aspiring author, an emerging author, you haven't done this much, maybe this is your first foray into the field, or this is your first bit of work, yeah, you're going to feel nervous, off balance, concern. Maybe you will say, I haven't done as much work as many of these other people. So maybe I'm not quite ready for that. And that might be justifiable in terms of maybe there's more things you need to learn. Maybe you want to just use this as an experience of exploration or networking. But yeah, legitimately, I'm not up there yet. That's a legit feel, and you'll be nervous. But there's also, and I think this is where Chris is dealing, there is also this syndrome, this feeling that some of us go through almost every single time we take on a project. We go, I don't know if I can really do this. There's probably somebody can do it better than me, or this is probably a dumb idea, or there's probably nobody going to be interested in it. And that's the little worm wiggling inside your ear, boring, burrowing into your brain and not serving you, is when you talk yourself out of a thing,
right?
Not for concrete reasons, but because you have something in you that's saying, I'm not worthy.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you have the skills, even if you've done it before, here you're coming to do it again. Something sometimes goes, yeah, but maybe I was lucky the first time. And that's the muscle that you have to work to develop, is to get past that, is to not let that stop you, is to somehow face that beast, as Chris is saying right now, looking at going, okay, this is what I just did.
Right.
Here's how I know I was incorrect with this assumption or assertion. I'm going to have to look at this now head on and really try and analyze, where did I misstep? What's the fallacy here? And see it and identify it, because I know I'm going to feel this again at some point, and I want to win out over it the next time. So this is what Chris is doing right now. And again, Chris is saying, he's not saying he's better than anybody else, blah, 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 blah. He is saying that in spite of the fact that he has done all these things, some part of his brain said, I'm probably not good enough to, or it's probably better if I'm not, because I'm not this and that. And then looking at all the folks who did show up and seeing, oh, wait, I actually, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
And that's something we have to face. That's something we have to look at and really stare in the eyes.
And I am evolving from purely self-published to a micro-publisher, which is, I'm not only publish my own stuff, but I publish other people's stuff. Rebecca's book, sure, but the Soul Scream Anthologine is over 30, approaching 40 different authors of this. And they are good quality pieces. And the publications that I put out are quality. They're well edited. I think they're well written. I've always been told they're well written. And so you have to really ask yourself, and it's a process of allowing yourself to recognize, but then asking yourself, okay, why, rather than beating yourself and say you suck and all that sort of stuff.
So here we go. Here we go. How do we deal with this?
I think the penance was really a good way of doing it, because I was asking myself, how can I get an honest assessment of who's there? The immediate way was to look at who's posting what and look in their stuff and look in yours. And then if I had to look something up on Amazon or Google an author or this or that, you can find out the information. And this could be mistakenly seen as competition with others. Right now I'm competing with myself. I'm doing the same thing with how I put the books out. And that's another episode somewhere, and all the little things you need to learn how to get right for just to be visible. But in a small, in an AuthorCon way, I could have been visible all weekend right there with a couple of small adjustments. So you're faced with a choice. Beat yourself up for indefinite amount of time, or note them and take action towards the next one. And
I'm sorry.
No, those are the actions I'm taking.
So the first step is acknowledge that there may have been a misstep and do some research to check that out, to see if you were correct or you were underestimating yourself. Okay.
Well, the question that I said was, I'm not on their level. And then the second statement I made to myself was, Yeah, prove it. And that's the thing, because the interior editor will lie his ass off. But proof is proof.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the more I looked, the more I saw, the more I was able to make a level-headed assessment. The quieter that interior editor got.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I'm going to go get myself a cup of coffee outside. Yeah. I'm not sure what's going on here, but I got to go.
So just, okay, so that's one. Okay, so now what would the next step be? Now that you've seen that, okay, that wasn't accurate. I actually could have been on par with many of the people there and could have benefited from it. What's your next step?
There are two, okay? One is to register and get a table for the St. Louis, Missouri.
It's in October.
It's in October, and I'll be going blind because I don't know whether the same crowd will be attracted there or not. I can't see why not, but just go and don't measure that experience with how many books you sell. Measured if you get in the door and you stay positive and just be available to that experience so that you're used to it. Secondarily, and this goes from a friend of the show, Damon Manx, he's the king of touring smaller events in the tri-state area. So get myself on some of those and get used to being out there, table, set up, some kind of poster behind you or whatever, and just have all those little key pieces and you be used to loading in and doing the show and loading out, and you get used to being out there. Again, neither of these are about how do I sell a billion copies of the book? It's a different issue. Yep. We're not talking to you, but we're not talking here today about selling. We're talking here about allowing yourself to be what you are.
And to get out there and show that to your potential population, your audience or your fan base or whatever you want to call it.
And I was out there not as regularly as maybe would have been great, but I was out there before COVID and before the final years of teaching. And something has changed. And now I'm changing it back. We're changing, hopefully, into a better professional on that end. And on all ends, I really have been going through a transformation from whatever I was, a writer, to an author, from whatever I was to a publisher, and allowing that to be what it is.
One of the things that comes from being out there, again, since we're trying to look at this as what can we do, is sometimes you're going to think of this as, oh, I'm going to be out there by myself. And in certain cases, yes, you will physically be there, quote unquote, you're taking your material, your books or whatever to this event. You're going to have your table set up and it's going to be you and the public. But there have been occasions, and I know Chris can back me up on this, there have been certain occasions in the past, because we've done this together in the past.
Yeah.
There have been occasions where, you go to a convention and you're coming in there thinking, okay, it's just me and my stuff. But one of the benefits of a convention or a gathering is to network, to actually meet your peers and find commonalities sometimes that are equally supportive or even create bonds or affiliations that are supportive or useful to you. Very quickly, I will mention that when years ago when we were starting out with Blackjack as a comic book, even before the graphic novels or the short stories, it was just Blackjack and the comic books. I think maybe the first two or three issues were out. And going to these conventions, I met two different people, a husband and wife team who were doing a sort of a violent messiah kind of vigilante character. And then on the other side was another individual, a gentleman, who was doing a sword and sorcery series of stories. And so we're not in the same genre, really. There's adventure and action in everything that the three of us are doing, but it's violent urban scenario. It's sword and sorcery in the past, and it's an action-adventure black hero in the 30s here. And yet, we were experiencing certain things together in terms of how to get our products out there, how to engage with the audience, how to develop some sort of energy that was positive so that people would come to our tables. And we found that because we liked each other, that we liked some action stuff, and we formed a bond where we were supportive of each other at the events and backed each other up and would think, oh, thanks. Thanks for buying my stuff. Oh, you got to check out so-and-so's table because he and she is, or they or whatever, they've got this great stuff. And so we started sending people around. So that kind of relationship can be developed over time, but only if you get out there and make those connections. So that's one of the other things is supporting, by supporting other people, you also, and of course, I'm supporting you, you also begin to share your audience base and you get your name out there and you get your word out there. And so that's beneficial to overcoming. It's a reason for overcoming the imposter syndrome or the shyness and getting yourself to these events.
I agree 100%. And there's a guy who won best novel last year, or won foreign novel, whatever you want to call it, at StokerCon. I don't know if they use the word best. And his name is Gabino Iglesias.
One more time?
Gabino Iglesias. Okay. Iglesias. I think I added an N in there. Where is that? Now, on his recent posts, he's been talking about being invited over to an author's event in France. And one of the things that happened was, he says, first of all, talk about imposter syndrome. He's sitting there with S.A. Cosby and all these just huge names at this point. And S.A., he's just a Southern boy, big old guy, and he's exploding. And it's fun watching him just taking a stride, astounded. But he seems very positive. Any imposter syndrome he might have, he's keeping it quiet.
Yeah, on the down low.
Gabino doesn't keep quiet about anything. He uses it all as content to share with his experience, right? So he's saying, talk about imposter syndrome. I'm sick. Cannot believe I've been invited to France. I'm with these people on this panel. And then he gets asked to or invited to partake in a photo session with this legendary photographer who has asked all these legendary authors have been photographed by this person. I'm thinking particularly of the author, African-American author, who was one of the first ones to be outspoken about racism in the country. Forgot his name.
I'm trying to remember his name, yeah.
We can anyway. So these experiences happen. Now the difference is that he feels the imposter syndrome. He notes it. He admits to experiencing it and goes through the experience. Positive. Wow. Can you believe this? Imposter syndrome is going crazy, but let's get going. That's a great approach to, okay, walk into the fear. I don't know whether it's fear or my old background, but whatever it is, I'm going to try and walk into the fear more often.
It's a good phrase. Yeah. When you go into the dark room, turn on your flashlight.
Yeah. Oh, there was the French philosopher. It's just, if what you're doing is not scaring you, or if it's scaring you, that's when you know you're alive and you should be doing it. Bono said in one of the recent songs that you two did, he says, if your dreams don't scare you, you're not dreaming big enough.
Yeah.
You know, and hearing it and living it could be different if you allow it to be.
Let's just, again, because we're talking about things to do to try and overcome it, I'm going to just bring up one more example, very condensed example of the negative side of this, of giving into that in any way, shape, or form. Chris and I had this experience when we were, this again, going back a few years, when we were still just pushing the books, the early books of Blackjack and some other things, Race Against Time, project. And we were attending conventions And there was a gentleman who, again, we befriended. He's doing the same thing we're doing. He's trying to sell his creation, his graphic novel. And he would sit at his table with a very doughty, dire, down, 3D expression on his face, and really not reach out to people as they came by his table, or even if they stopped and looked at his books, but didn't take that next step to pick up a book or ask a question. He would just sit there and look at him, right?
Mm.
So we'd seen his books and we liked what he was doing. We thought it was really something there. And so at one occasion, a reporter or a reviewer for the industry, right, not a big name, but a reviewer in the industry, was looking at our stuff and talking to us. And he said, look, you got to see this other guy's thing. And we took him over to the table. And really what I was hoping would happen was that this guy would realize, oh, a reviewer who's going to get the word out about my book, yeah, I'll give him a copy.
Right.
Nope. It's such and such. You have to pay for this. And I'm going, yeah, this is a reviewer. He's got a great column. He's got a good following. He can get you. You know, I had to pay for these. I said, all right, you know what? I'll buy it from him. So I paid him for a copy of his book, gave it to the reviewer, and he got a good review. But it didn't click in his head, even in my doing that, that this was a necessary part of the promotion process, to getting the word out, to just connect with people, reviewer or customer, connect with people, have a conversation with them. Some part of him was still shut down or locked off.
Right.
And one more time, we did another situation where, again, we like his book. And we're at another event, and his book is not selling very well. And we were going to run from that event to a comic book store in Manhattan. We knew the owner, big store. And we said, come with us. And we forced him to go with us in a cab, threw him into the cab. Chris had to hold him down, threw him into the cab, went down there, showed the book to the comic book store, the salespeople. And they went, yeah, we'll buy X number of these. And he was shocked.
Mm-hmm.
He was shocked. That was the only sale he had made all day. And it was because we dragged him kicking and screaming to the and talked it up. So once again, another way of dealing with how you might feel shy or fearful or not significant enough to express the value of your work, bring somebody along who can. Yeah, or have a family member, somebody who can gush about your work.
Yeah.
You sit there and be shy and retiring or whatever it is you are, but make sure somebody is at your table who can talk about your work with pride and knowledge.
And you gotta let yourself embrace the truth. You are torn on this. And if you did your due diligence, and that's the thing, self-assess. Did I work with an editor? Is the cover checking the boxes that it needs to check to attract? And there's plenty of books to pick up and it'll tell you how to do that, right?
Or set up a beta council of people that you can run it by so they can give you some feedback.
What works, what doesn't work. Yeah. But the idea is that once you're there, and especially if you're looking at other publishing places or conventions and look at what's there. Don't be judgmental. Just say, do I have a place here? Yeah, you do. You do. And maybe not. I had a great experience where I wormed my way into Autograph Fest or something like that. Book signing fest. And it's at StokerCon, right? And it's certain amount of time, and then they serve ice cream, right? I said, I'm going to bring them. And I was sitting there. There's a couple of people on either side of me that were about on my level. But V. Castro and a couple other, they were just sun hot at this point, right? There was two or three of them. And as I knew them from social media, so love following it, great stuff and all that sort of stuff. Even bought a book from V. Castro before the thing set up. And then I'm ready to do my stuff. And the line formed for all the ladies that were burning hot. That's not a sexual injury. That's their selling was of their books was ascending. And the only way I could get anyone to look at the books, because you couldn't see them because the line was right in front of where my dick was, to just use humor. This line is long. Do you need something to read? And that kind of thing. And I looked around and I realized this event is for, that particular event was for established, for fans of established writers. Most of them came in with books already bought. I was one, and then some were buying books from everybody and all that sort of stuff. So I think I sold one or two books. But it was, you also learn, okay, this is not that. This AuthorCon, people come from, when I was looking at, there was one posting of where you're coming from. And there were 30 different states that people mentioned. And two other countries that were not the United States. Like traveling over the Atlantic Ocean to get to this thing, right? And a couple of people who were on that were like, I bought an empty suitcase with me that I expect to fill up. Some people go there. It's their reading for the year. That event could be home for someone like me or you out there.
Yeah.
So it's all about research. And it's all about finding a way to show yourself proof, you know?
And so to circle it back to where we started, Chris checked himself. Realized that he had not been as strategic as he needed to be. In the pursuit of promoting and distributing material that he had worked very hard on months or years. And in evaluating why he wasn't where he thought he needed to be, looking inwardly, he found, again, we can call it imposter syndrome. We can call it apprehension or whatever. But looking the beast in the eye, identifying what it is, identifying some of the triggers that set that beast in motion, and then looking for methodologies or ways to not do that again.
I think it's a war of inches. I think you're going to always have to, but how do you get yourself to consistently walk into the fear? Yeah. And that,
which is going to be on a t-shirt now.
It's definitely a good t-shirt there. Yeah. Three people just made it on
Etsy right now. It's already
in public. Yeah. The other thing is to know where you need to grow. The content pages of what I put out would satisfy most readers who enjoy that genre. I am 100% confident in that. And I am learning the business side. And that's where most of the transformation is starting to happen.
So once again, walk into the field, identify what the beast is, come up with methodologies for dealing with it to get you through it this time, and then start to develop habits
that
will help you deal with it in the coming weeks, months, years.
Remain open to the learning is the one I would add to that.
Yeah.
And try and just learn something that's going to move you forward every day.
There you go.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. That's a lot of advice for you until the damn story.
Yep.
And now what to do after you told the damn story.
Yeah. Go forth and sell your damn story.
Which is what Creep This Way does. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Oh, yeah. Which is a good one. And let us know how Rebecca did. Maybe we should have her on the show.
If it's cool with you, I'm going to make that an invite because that would be a great post-con.
Yeah.
And hopefully, fingers crossed, ladies and gentlemen, that we'll see Rebecca soon.
Everybody, you take care. Chris, as always, a pleasure.
Peace, brother. Thank you very much. Everybody, have a great day and cut yourself a break. You are pretty damn good.
What do you always tell people to do, sir?
Since you've been riveted to this entire episode.
Yes. Yeah, please.
What we would ask you to do is to hit the like and the subscribe so you don't miss any of this gold
again. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, everybody.